It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Every Friday, we are lucky enough to be joined by Ron Jaworski. You can see Jaws on the NBC Sports Philadelphia Eagles pre- and post-game show. Jaws, how are we feeling?
Absolutely fantastic. After the great win against the Cleveland Browns, I'm all fired up for the New York football giant.
So, you know, I was going to ask you this at the top, Jaws, because I have not heard your take on it. But then I realized you played for Buddy Ryan, so that maybe you have experienced some similarities. If you were you're a quarterback on a team, and you see Nick Sirianni do what he did at the end of the game and then the sort of weird press conference afterwards, as a player on the team, how would you have viewed that?
I would be disappointed. And I've done a few shows. I've made that clear. I was disappointed in Nick doing what he did after the game. But I also understand, and I'm glad he apologized. I think when he reconsidered everything that he had done, it takes a luster off the victory, albeit against the Cleveland Browns. It's a win. And I think when a lot of players in that game played very well in the game, it took the shine away from them. It took the focus away from them. So, you know, to me, whenever the coach starts getting the spotlight, it's not good for a football team. It's just not. The guys in the field, really a good, hard-fought win against Cleveland, but the coach took away the glamour of that victory.
Yeah, I said that was the biggest mistake he made there in doing what he did is that, man, you took away the opportunity to have your team talked about and how they played that day because everything was focused on him. I got a chance to watch the post-game show because I don't have a post-game show anymore, Jaws, but I'm not bitter. I got a chance to hear you at the post-game show. I got a chance to hear you, and you made a lot of great points.
And it's intercepted by Ike Reese.
You made a lot of good points, man, about the game. Just your thoughts on how you felt the offense played Sunday. I mean, I know they didn't score early, but some of the things you felt like they did well versus some of the things they still need to work on.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting, at least in my opinion, when I went through the tape on Monday and Tuesday. You know, I really felt bad that the players didn't get talked about. And I mean that sincerely, because there were some guys that really had good games. And, we talked about this defense for a long time, the draft choices. You know, when you see guys like Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter, they played terrific in the game. They clogged up the middle. I mean, I thought as a tandem, it may have been the best game they've had together. You know, Ojomo gets pressure on the quarterback. You know, Bryce Huff shows up. You see good things, a defense that's making progress. In the secondary, man, I'd say I was really impressed with that secondary, the speed of the guys in the secondary, the way they played as a unit as well. There's no question Cooper DeJean is going to be a heck of a football player. And I think Vic kind of took the wrappings off him a little bit. I mean, blitzing him, coming off the edge. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a tough, hard-nosed football player. You know, you got Quinyon Mitchell, Reed Blankenship. You got young guys. What jumped out at me was the speed of the defense right now. It's getting better, and it's a work in progress. But instead of talking about the improvements they made and not allowing the Cleveland Browns to score a touchdown, I don't care who your quarterback is. You shut out a team in the NFL, you're doing something right. So I felt the shine was taken away from the way the defense played in particular. And you know, when A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith are on the football field, you got a better quarterback in Jalen Hurts. He has a great chemistry with those two guys, and it's just so obvious when they're all together.
So from an offensive perspective, they did play a better game on Sunday, but it wasn't – I guess we're all looking for that game where it looks like the way that we felt like it was going to look, the way that it looked at times against Green Bay. What do you think is the number one most important thing to get the offense from where it is now to where we would expect or where we'd want it to be?
Well, let's start off with a very difficult thing to do. Let's score in the first quarter. I mean, my goodness, can we put some points on the board? And if there's something I question right now about the offensive side, it's the play selection. And, I'm just not seeing what I expected to see on a more. I haven't seen the design that I expected to see. I mean, we start off the game with an almost 6-yard run, and we throw two passes. And come on, we got, you know, what are we going to be as a football team? You know, pulling plays out of a hat on the sideline? Not that Kellen Moore's doing that, but I want to see a more systematic offense, you know, dictating the defense what they have to do to defend you. And I'm just not seeing that. I'm not seeing the shot plays, except, you know, a 9 route, a go route up left sideline to J.J. Brown. I'm not seeing designed deep crossing routes off play action with maximum protection, giving Jalen time to let plays develop down the field. I'm not seeing some of those plays I've seen in the past. And, you know, if you want to get shot plays, hey, obviously A.J. Brown is your guy. You can get him done because he's going to make those 50-50 catches 90% of the time. He's that good of a football player. But I want to see not just a quarterback throwing the ball in the air and the receiver making a great play, but I want to see great design in the play where you're getting a guy open, anticipating the defense, and it just looks a lot cleaner and smoother than, you know, just one-on-one playing street ball.
So when somebody's, because we had Kurt Warner on earlier in the week, and we were listening to what Dan Orlovsky had said. So I think what everybody's struggling with is the offense being called a certain way because of Kellen Moore, or is the offense being called a certain way because of what Jalen is comfortable with? And if he's not comfortable with those sorts of things, then how do you get there, I guess is my question.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a quarterback call meeting. I'm not sure when the Eagles have theirs, but, you know, for all the coaches I've played for, from Dick Vermeil to Marty Schottenheimer to Chuck Knox to Buddy Ryan, all those guys, there's a meeting you had on a Friday where you went through the entire play call for the game on Sunday. And you, in that meeting, you got a chance to either express your opinion, good or bad. And the coach will have his playlist there and say, hey, Ron, what do you like on first down? What do you like on first and 10? What do you like on second and 1-3, second and 4-6, second and 7-10? Going on every situation, you know, 2-minute drill, trying to close out a half, all those things, they're all discussed. And so that's where Jalen would have the opportunity to say, hey, you know, Kellen, I like that play. I like that play. I don't like that play. Take that play out. I like this play. I'd like to work on this play, throw out tracks. So the quarterback does have input, and he should have input. Now, I don't know if there's any disconnect on Sunday, but I'm sure Jalen has he's a veteran quarterback now. He knows what he does best. And sometimes if you're not agreeing with the coach, have that taken out of the game plan, or don't call it. And also, between series, I've always felt that was the most important part of the game. You had a series, say you're 3-0 the first series of the game. You sit in the damn bench, you go with the coach, you put that you got all these computers on the sideline, pull that surface pad out and take a look and say, what's the defense doing? Hey, I think we ought to do this. I think we ought to. I want to see more of that communication on the sideline as well, adjusting as the game goes on.
Yeah, I guess I hadn't actually paid attention to that, Jaws. That'll be something I'll be looking at Sunday. It's just the, in between those offensive series, is Kellen getting a chance to sit down with Jalen and go over some things, or is it just, Neusmeyer, he may be upstairs. I don't even know if he's down on the field, if he's up in the press box. But I don't see a lot of Jalen and Kellen sort of having those sort of discussions while they look over the smart pad over there on the sideline.
Yeah, I'm watching the game last night, and you see Sean Payton on the sideline with his quarterback, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he got a rookie quarterback, and, you know, hey, that's the communication you have to have. And you got to, hey, what do you like? What don't you like? Hey, here's what we're getting. Because, like, you know, you play defense your whole life. What you see for 4 weeks prior to the game you're playing probably changes that given game.
Cause yep.
Your defense, your game plan for your opponent. So that's when the game time adjustment becomes so critical. I was very fortunate. I talk about myself with, you know, I had a guy named Sid Gilman, who's a Hall of Fame coach, was one of the best coaches I've ever had. And I can just remember sitting on the sideline with him talking about every situation that came up after every single drive. Because I knew I had this incredible confidence in him that what we discussed on the sideline was going to work. He just had that kind of knowledge. He was the reason he's in the Hall of Fame. But, that trust you develop with a coach is so integral to your success.
So, Jaws, it seems like the biggest battle for the Eagles on Sunday is going to be our offensive line versus their defensive line. So my question would be, how confident are you in A, there's Fred Johnson versus Brian Burns, but B, there's Cam Jurgens, who is in his first year starting at center against Dexter Lawrence. How confident are you that the Eagles can find a way to protect Jalen on Sunday?
Yeah, first of all, I'm glad Thibodeau's not playing because that would have made
yes.
really a
three-day
possibility. Yes. He's a heck of a football player, but I think for the most part, the offensive line is playing well. I think Fred Johnson stepped in the left tackle spot, has done a good job. Alice, obviously the loss of Dallas Goedert is going to hurt a little bit. But when you know you have a good pass rush team, you've got to quantify who's going to come, when they come, and how they come. Do they bring safety? Do they bring corners? Do they bring the linebackers? You must understand what they're going to do and put your offensive lineman in a position where they can get help with a chip. They can get help with the tight end. So that's all part of the game plan process. But hey, this is a pretty good Giant football team. It's not the same old sorry ass Giants. You know, I think they're getting better. So if we think we're just going to go up there and, you know, beat the same old sorry ass Giants, it's not going to be a gimme. They're getting better, and they're a better football team.
All right, Charles. Eagles are a 3.5-point favorite as it stands. We need your official WIP afternoon show Jaws prediction for Sunday's game.
I love when you make it official, Spike.
We got to mark it down, stamp it. You know, you're writing it in blood, brother.
I love being held accountable. You know, that's why I have a 3-foot putt. You know, Ike makes me putt it. You know, he doesn't give it to me.
I want all gimmies, Jaws. Give them to me.
He's holding me accountable. So, all right, I'm going to go. My pick this week is the Birds 23 and the Giants 17.
Okay.
Wow. It's almost identical to my score.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I'll take it.
Mike. Yep, I got 23-16 Eagles.
Pretty close.
Yep.
I believe that's a cover, too.
It is a cover.
It is a cover.
All right, Jaws. Well, you can see Jaws.
I heard that matters to some people.
It does.
Yes. There's it does. Two. Not me, but there's two specific people on this show who it matters a lot to. So. All right, Jaws. We appreciate you, man.
All right, you guys are the best. Thank you.
All right, brother.
See Jaws on the NBC Sports Philly pre- and post-game show.
And Al Michaels, he's always reminding you.
About the line?
Yeah, yes. But again, Al, it's not 1999 or 2010. You can just say it now.
Why? Right. What does he do? Oh, does he do that? Some people,
that field goal matters.
This is a big kick.
He did it last night with the last touchdown.
You were still watching?
Well.
Oh, this guy's a sicko. As I'm watching the Yankees-Guardians game last night.
A meaningless touchdown, but that pushed the over. The over-under was 36.5.
I'm watching Guardians-Yankees last night, which, by the way, was an all-time baseball playoff game.
Come on.
And I'm thinking to myself, what sicko is watching Broncos-Saints? Him. This guy over here is watching the Spike YouTube Big Board Bowl between Spencer Rattler and
Bo
Nix.
That's right. I'm scouting your guys, man.
Yeah.
And I had the Broncos defense last night.
Oh, yes.
Three of my leagues.
There you go.
20 points they put up.
Oh, really?
I just realized that the Saints defense. Man, doesn't seem like it's going very well.
No. 215-592-9494.
I did miss a good game last night.
It was an excellent game.
Yep.
Kenny from the Dirty 30, you're on WIP.
Yeah, like Rocco, I am 5'9 and 230 pounds. Right in the middle.
But no gut.
Yeah, all in your shoulders and arms. I got to see Rocco. Rocco sounds like a guy who would tip over.
I almost got a 10-incher.
Come on, man.
I take pride in the fact that I'm in shape, but round is a shape.
Yes.
Ah, I like that line.
For sure.
So listen, I know I'm on an island of one, and I'm saying this kind of half-heartedly, but I've been mad at Saquon since this season started. And every game I sit there with my friends and yell, he's still a Giant. He dropped an easy pass that could have won us a game, and then he steps out of bounds 2 yards short when he easily could have had the first down. I need him this week to prove to me he's an Eagle.
So, right, you think he's a secret agent, perhaps?
No, I think he has the stink of a Giant on him and he just can't get rid of. Just like I think Kellen Moore has the stink of a Cowboy he can't get rid of.
What about DeMarco Murray? We're starting to call Saquon DeMarco?
Yeah.
You said that and you laughed, but there's something about it. When we get a player from one of our rivals, they just don't have that stink on him. I can't stand it. And I just want him this is the week he needs to shower it off completely. I want to see 150 to 200 total yards, and I want to see 3 touchdowns, and I want to see us laughing on the sidelines. That's what I want to see. And we haven't seen that in a very long time. You might remember Super Bowl year when the guys are doing the electric slide
yep.
after playing the Bears.
Yep.
I need that.
Yep.
I need the electric slide on the sidelines. We got to get that mojo back.
Back to having that fun.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I would.
Well, it was good to see Jalen in the end zone doing the kid and play Sunday.
Yes.
That was good to see.
With AJ.
Yeah.
You know, I would say this, Kenny, about Saquon. I think, I don't know about DeMarco Murray, but I know that Saquon wants the Giants stink washed off of him as well.
Yeah.
You know, I think he wants to. This is not.
Saquon's here. DeMarco Murray should have never been here.
Yes.
And he will tell you he wasn't an Eagle.
Yes.
He came here for the paycheck.
I think Saquon desperately wants to be an Eagle,
yeah.
actually.
Yeah.
So, Kenny, give us for the Disturbed tickets, give us a famous couple.
Bert and Bernie.
Bert and Ernie. Well. I mean,
come on, man.
It's not what we thought of as a couple, or is it?
Well, we later found out they were a couple. Yes. that's why he said that.
That's a good
okay,
one.
Okay, it's a good
right,
one.
Kenny.
We'll take it.
It's a good one.
I feel like we have better luck with ex-Giants or ex-Cowboys.
Definitely more ex-Giants than Cowboys.
We had Reuben Randle. We had Steve Smith.
Reuben Randle.
Wow.
Did he ever play? I remember him. Did he play?
I don't know if he played for the league. Steve
Smith. He might be the worst LSU wide receiver.
He was horrible.
Who else do we have? Steve Smith didn't work.
Bum.
Was it after? I can't even know.
Okay, we got Dahani Jones.
Was it after us? I thought he was a Bengal before us.
No, he was a Giant before us. Okay. And then he finished with the Bengals.
So T.O. was a Cowboy after he was in
Eagle. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to think.
The Cowboys, we got Orlando Scandrick.
Didn't work.
Nope.
We had DeMarco Murray.
Didn't work.
Trying to even jump out. I mean, like Randle went there. Harold went there. G. Cobb went there.
They don't want to show that.
Baldy.
Pretty much everybody. Huh?
Besides Ike, man. At least he went to Atlanta.
Yeah.
He had some dignity.
Yeah.
Seth was a Cardinal and a Bronco.
Yeah.
We didn't lose everyone to the Cowboys.
Yeah, we didn't lose everybody to the Cowboys.
Yeah, there's not a lot of Cowboys who ended up being...
Yeah. Well, Chris Bonio was terrible.
Oh, yeah. He was.
That was my rookie year.
Yeah. Forgot we had him.
Are you a little surprised that Saquon hasn't given us any juice on this thing this week?
No, I don't think.
You expected him to play it down, like downplay it?
I just don't. The way that Giants fans feel about him, he does not feel about them.
Right.
And he is a guy who is clearly uncomfortable in that villain type role. Because when that happened because remember, Tiki made it worse.
Yeah.
So this is sort of the Saquon Tiki bowl over here. Saquon wanted no parts of that. And Saquon, every time he's been given an opportunity to say something, he's downplayed it. So it's not surprising to me. I actually think when he is going there wanting to prove something to somebody, he doesn't want to prove it to the fans.
It's the organization.
It's Shane. And it's just Shane. It's not even Merrill, but John Merrill wanted him there,
I think, overall. That was clear, Yeah, that was clear in the Hard Knocks thing.
Yeah, I think it's Dable and Shane.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it is. And I think that's why he's played it down, because I don't think he's going to say that out loud.
Yeah.
And I don't think he wants to get booed by that. I think, you know, Costo said that he thinks they will boo him. I think it will be mixed. The more I think about it, I think there will be some of both. I don't think that's going to be...
It's going to be one of those vicious... Yeah, because he hasn't said anything bad about the fans or anything of that nature.
He was a good player there. Yeah. He was hurt too much, but that's his only sin, is being hurt. So
It's not his fault he's drafted number 2 overall.
No. Yeah.
No, I'm just... Both sides have sort of downplayed him coming back, because they haven't said anything out of the Giants either this week.
No, because I think their owner's probably still upset that he's not a Giant.
Right.
To be honest with you, I don't think that anyone wants to stir that up. So, you know, it's not going to be like LeBron going back to Cleveland or something.
No.
I think it'll actually, and it reminds me a little bit, though it's not a completely similar situation, of when Donovan came back when he was on Washington.
Yeah.
And I think, if I remember correctly, because I was in the building for that, it was mostly cheers and some boos.
Yes, it was mostly cheers. Yes.
Yeah. So I think it'll be mixed.
Except for Liz.
Sure.
Yeah, Liz Marks.
Oh, did she boo him?
Yeah.
All right, just so we don't get... She wanted to boo him, and Mark said no.
Yeah.
I believe is how... But we always,
John said no.
But we always joked with him that she was there. Boo, Donovan. Yeah.
I think that was one of their first dates.
It was their first date, yes.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, Donovan game.
He tells that story. He's told that story, yeah.
What do you think of a Eagles game for a first date?
Tough one.
Nowadays?
It's not what it was.
Yeah, I'm like, why not?
Well, you get to see a different side of the person.
Yeah. Sit in a car for 2.5 hours afterwards trying to leave?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Takes the right kind of girl.
If she's a sports fan, and she's with it, if she's a sports fan, that's great. You don't want to take somebody to a game that's not really a sports fan.
No, not a football game.
Yeah.
Baseball game you could do.
Yeah.
Just hanging out, nice night, whatever.
Two things real quick.
Yeah.
Miles Austin, also a bum, Cowboy the player.
Oh, that's right. Miles Austin was here,
And Jordan Mailata placed on IR, so he's out for 4 weeks.
Ooh.
I could tell. When he said a couple games, felt like... Not a lie, but it felt pretty optimistic.
That's a lot different.
So it's a month? I thought it was 6 weeks with IR.
No, it's a month.
Four games.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. Well, I hope Fred Johnson's good. You know, Jordan did say his natural position was left tackle.
Yeah.
And not
how much
right
better does
tackle.
That make you feel?
None.
Yeah, I was going to say that didn't make me feel better.
The last time they were able to game plan for Fred Johnson, he got torched.
The Tampa game.
The Tampa game. Because he's good in the when he came in for Lane in the Saints game. But then,
and they're going to go back to that Tampa game and see Fred Johnson out there playing.
And again, as we've talked many times on this show, if you're under 40 named Fred,
not a great time.
Bit of an issue.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next, one of our enemies.
It could be his father's name, man, or his grandfather's name.
Well, where's the junior?
He's got a point.
Yeah, he got a point.
He's not a junior. Could be grandfather's name.
Yeah.
You know?
I would say Fred, George, any of those names. Yeah, you have to be.
If it was Freddie, I think it's cooler. Like Freddie Johnson's a pretty cool name.
He should be Freddie Johnson.
Freddie Johnson.
I trust Freddie Johnson on
more than we do Fred Johnson.
Fred Johnson's in the parking lot having beers.
Well, we've had some Eagles change their first names. He can go from Fred to Freddie.
Yeah.
Easy.
I like it.
Easy. All right, coming up next, one of our enemies is on the brink of death.
Okay.
We will talk about that next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. I love Delco. Love Delco. Born and raised in Delco. But we're going to go back. You know, we're all Delco's men now. And Delco is a lot of things. They said Delco's a lot. They're right. It's not, it's everything. It's family stuff. It's nightlife. It's good restaurants. And we're in the fall, so there's pumpkin picking and plays and festivals and fall foliage all season long. So this weekend, 2SP Brewing Company is having the Halloween at the Brewery. Get it? Not brewery, but brewery. It is Saturday from noon to 9:30 p.m. Sweet and scary fun for you and your furry friends. That means bring the animals. Also, Swarthmore Town Center presents the third annual STC Cornhole Tournament. That's on Sunday from 1 to 5. If you would like a list of full events, go to visitdelcopa.com. They say Delco's a lot, and they are right. It's a WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Before we get back to the Eagles, I mentioned that one of our enemies is on the brink of death. Not actual death, but sports death, as the Mets are down 3-1 to the Dodgers and do look outclassed to this point. The Dodgers look like their lineup now with everybody healthy is kind of terrifying.
Well, it makes the 5-1 against them look a little less impressive.
Yeah, even and they're doing it without really any of their pitching at this point. So it looks like the Mets are going to be done. I did see a funny tweet, and I didn't hear the quote, but I saw it. So I don't know if you saw this, but the Mets are going to have the Temptations perform My Girl at the stadium at Citi Field.
Oh, for Lindor.
For Lindor.
Yeah.
Sal Licata, midday host, Met fan at WFAN.
Let me guess, he hated it.
Yeah, there you go. It's right up Sal's alley. Not one Met fan gives a crap, with all due respect, about the Temptations, he said. He said it is a horrible idea.
He's an anti-everything them this year.
Yes.
I mean, the Hawk Tua girl, he was anti that.
He was anti-Hawk Tua. I think he was
Grimace, he definitely hates.
He Ooh. Hated Grimace, but he
oh,
came
Grimace.
Back. Yeah.
That's something he ought to hate.
It's tough. Yeah.
Well, the Temptations thing is sort of begging for, you know, when they have Diaz come out, they have the Timmy Trumpet music.
Mm-hmm. I finally got to hear that.
You got to hear that. So they had Timmy Trumpet come to play it live once. The Mets didn't bring out Diaz and lost. Then they had him in there again, no Diaz, and it took the third try, and everybody blamed Timmy Trumpet. So having the Temptations there is definitely begging for an 0-for-4 Lindor night, and the Mets get eliminated and lose 6-1. It's begging for it. I think it's kind of fun. But
how old are the Temptations now?
The Temptations?
I would say late 70s, probably.
I don't even think these are the original Temptations.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's probably one of those groups.
I would imagine maybe a couple of them are still original, but they've been out since the 60s and the 70s.
Diana Ross?
Dude, the Temptations is a male group.
Did you think Diana Ross was in the Temptations?
Yeah.
That's the Supremes.
That one.
You heard My Girl.
Well, I could have mixed it.
Okay.
Yeah. He heard it and didn't know what he was listening to. That's what that was. Yes.
Come on. Is this a bit with the Temptations?
Diana Ross is Ain't No Mountain High Enough, right?
Wait, hold on.
Ain't No Mountain High Enough.
Ain't No Mountain. You know the song.
Ain't no mountain high enough.
Yes.
That didn't sound anything like what you just sang.
Well, believe it or not, me and Diana, Diana Ross.
That's what you just said.
Yes. Okay. We're not the same. Because no, hold on. Just,
is it a bit that you didn't know Diana Ross was in the Temptations?
Well, I knew it was one of those groups.
That's a male group.
I understand that.
So, just so we're on the same page, of the four teams remaining,
yes,
Guardians, Yankees, Mets, Dodgers, from best case scenario to worst case scenario, we would all agree that Guardians winning is the least painful,
yes,
right, Jack?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Same page?
I hope the Yankees make it, but...
Okay, so Guardians first, then who do we want to win after the Guardians?
I'll take a Dodgers championship.
You?
Yankees.
Yeah.
I wouldn't hate to see Yankees. That would mean nothing to me.
Okay.
Yeah, it means nothing to me. Exactly. Yeah. That's why I said Yankees.
Yeah. So my ranker is Guardians, Yankees, Dodgers, then Mets.
Yeah, that's sort probably of I got it.
Even though if we put you on the polygraph, it's probably Yankees one. I saw the respect that. I mean, it's okay. It is what it is.
I do have a respect that.
Yeah.
But I do love the Guardians because I love Stephen
Kwan.
You
are a Stephen Kwan guy.
And yeah. I'm an anti, even though I do have a little bit of affinity for the Yankees for my time there. I have become an enormous New York enemy.
You sure have.
And
yeah. The Yankees
I'm glad
fans
you said enemy.
Yeah, not friend.
No, yeah. Enemy. Yeah.
But the Yankees fans don't have an opinion on Spike, do they? I mean, I feel
no,
like you're...
Yankees fans are pretty neutral on
right.
me. I haven't been very hard on the Yankees at all.
Yeah, I'm okay with the Yankees winning because they're not the Mets. Not the National League. I don't even want the Dodgers to win. Quite frankly.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even want them to win.
But it's better than the Mets winning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'd rather have the Dodgers win than the Mets because winning in L.A. doesn't mean anything.
No. Right. We saw that with the Bronze in all of 2020. I will say the thing that maybe, obviously, the Mets losing is makes me happy. Seeing Clase, who I know is also really good, and Jeff Hoffman have struggled at the same time makes me happy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I think Jeff sure. Hoffman's a really good pitcher that had a bad week, and I hope they re-sign him.
So
go ahead.
And we're the only team that got the bye.
That didn't advance.
Didn't advance.
Yes.
Don't like that.
Yeah.
Don't love that. But baseball's happy, but yes.
Well, of course baseball's happy, so we can stop this nonsense about the
bye.
The bye hurts
yeah.
everybody.
Yeah. The bye doesn't seem to be hurting the Yankees or the Dodgers at all. The thing that worries me about Jeff Hoffman, and this is me projecting, and I know that you don't like using this word flippantly, and I'm not using it flippantly.
You're going great?
I just felt like he choked.
Oh.
I felt like Jeff Hoffman choked.
Sure.
You know, and that, you know, when he came out for that next inning in game four, you could put that on Topper for sure.
Yeah.
But man, he was all over the place. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was throwing pitches that were bouncing 4 feet in front of the plate.
I sat for 25 minutes.
I do know athletes will choke at times. I totally agree with that.
You just don't like throwing it out there.
Well,
you know,
especially
all
with the great players.
Yes.
We all remember you do. He doesn't. Nick Anderson. Remember Nick Anderson, the free throw line?
And he was never the same.
Yeah.
Rick Ankiel didn't choke. He had
I don't know what happened to him. Yeah. Well,
so Rick Ankiel couldn't.
Yeah, he couldn't throw the ball,
yips.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he got the yips and ended up being an outfielder.
Yeah, Hoffman's a really good seventh, eighth guy.
Yes.
Inning guy. If they want a closing type, we'll see.
Well, the problem is going to be for the Phillies re-signing him is if somebody thinks he's a closer.
Yep.
Because then it's going to put him in a cost situation where, and I get the sense that the Phillies think they can turn lots of players into good relievers and not spend on one.
Sure.
That's my gut. 215-592-9494. Back to the Eagles. It's a gut check game on Sunday. Do you trust them to show the gumption that it'll take to win that game? Jeff in Delaware, you're on WIP.
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for taking my call.
What up, Jeff?
I hear a lot of hate and vitriol on the airwaves these days, and I don't think it's being pointed at the right person.
Okay.
Like, you need to take a serious look at this dude, Kellen Moore, this ex-Cowboy. Like, a lot of the issues that we're having, slow starts and all that, that could be appointed to the offensive coordinator. You brought him here to call plays. Did we or did we not?
No, we did.
Sirianni wasn't doing it. And so the plays that being called at the start of the game ain't getting it done, ain't putting points on the board. And now I'm not blaming putting it all on him. There might be some limitations with Jalen. But at the same time, isn't it the offensive coordinator, the coach's job to bring the best out of the player?
It is.
Yes. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, he's.
I don't think he's. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. You're right. He shouldn't get out scot-free in this. I do think if you went back into Eagles' first quarters and looked at the plays they missed, and that's not to, you know.
Right. Is it play calling?
Yeah. If Jalen, and I'm not just putting this on Jalen because we had the Cam Jurgens issue. Mm-hmm. We had A.J. Brown ran the wrong route.
Didn't Saquon slipped on the first play in Brazil?
Yes. In Green Bay, he slipped.
Yeah.
So if Jalen throws that ball inbounds to Saquon and they score there, who knows how it changes the texture of that game? If Cam Jurgens doesn't snap the ball over Jalen's head, if Jalen hits AJ on that route where they got confused as to who's and they get a first down there and they score, who knows what it happens to the rhythm of the offense? So I agree with you. Kellen Moore has to get some of the blame here. But when we see plays out there to make or unforced errors like the Cam Jurgens snap, it's hard to put everything on him in that, you know, in that scenario.
Yeah, I can dig that. Like, yeah. Saquon dropping the ball, bad snaps. Okay. I can chalk that up for one drive being bad. Mm-hmm. That might destroy your drive, right?
Yep.
That might destroy a drive, take some points off the board. But when it's like that consistently throughout the whole game, I don't know. A lot more blame needs to be put on Kellen Moore. And he's supposed to be this type of up-and-coming guru, offensive coordinator. But I don't think he's getting the job done at all.
Well, none of them are getting the job done at this point.
Right, yeah.
Except for A.J. Brown.
Yeah, the biggest thing with us, Jeff, is trying to figure out why aren't they getting the job done? Like, what is the issue?
Yeah, whatever it is, he's not good enough to bring it out of him. And the fact that he's an ex-Cowboy is, I don't know, I'm starting to look at him a little funny.
We got to.
I don't know why they keep bringing him in here. Like, we got a bad track record. DeMarco Murray, mm-hmm. Orlando Scandrick, what's the other guy, Miles Austin?
Oh, man.
Why do they keep bringing them over here? They seem like once they get over here, it goes left, and we end up cutting them, or it just doesn't work out. So I don't know.
Well, I have an idea. I have an idea to fix that. To prove their commitment, when they sign with the Eagles, they have to get branded. We have to brand them with an Eagles logo. You want to be here? Let's show us how much you want to be here. Mm-hmm. You know, or they should go egg Jerry Jones's house. One of those things.
Get an Eagle logo tattooed on your chest.
Yes, let's. I mean, John Marks can get a Nick Foles tattoo. Kellen Moore can certainly get an Eagles tattoo, if we're being fair.
Hey, prove your allegiance. Yeah.
Hey Jeff, for the Disturbed tickets, next question today is give us a famous couple. Give us one.
I had one I told first, but I switched it up. I'm going to go with Jay-Z and Beyonce.
That's a good one.
Ah, there you go.
That's a good one. That's two days
that's
in a row
one.
To discuss Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Yeah.
Because we're going to have to, at some point, keep awarding them for as long as we can.
Yes.
Celebrate them now.
Until the list comes out. The Twitter question.
Celebrate him. Celebrate all the stuff he does well.
The Twitter question is sponsored by Mark's Jewelers, the official jeweler of you. If you're looking to get engaged, shop the home team at Mark's Jewelers with rings for every budget. Online at marks-jewelers.com. Do you think the Eagles are going to win this weekend? Ike, we have movement.
Uh-oh.
Yes has gone down
Ooh.
To 68%.
Okay.
From 69%.
A lot more realists showing up.
Yep. So we have probably the best prognosticator we have to predict Eagles games coming up right after I tell you about what to do about your windows, your old drafty windows, as winter is beating down the door. It's there. You can feel it. It's cold in the morning now. Then it's going to be cold all day. That cold air is going to get through your old drafty windows. You got to do something about it. Your old windows, your old doors, Guida. Go Guida. Just remember those two words, Go Guida. They're going to make the whole process easier for you now by making it cheaper, more affordable. Buy one, get one half off sale. It is very simple, my friend. Buy a door, get a door half off. Buy a window, get a window half off. So what the math would tell you is the more that you buy, the more discount you're going to get, the more you're going to save. You can mix and match them too. It doesn't have to be door for door, window for window. Also, you can start the whole thing with no money down and interest-free financing for up to 18 months. Here's the thing, though. This is only going to be a limited time, and there are restrictions. So call 877-GO-GUIDA, schedule a free, no-obligation in-home estimate, or visit them at goguida.com. That's goguida.com. We have one person that we count on. We ask a lot of people for their predictions, but one we can count on. That is Tommy from down the shore.
It's Tommy down the shore.
No way, yes, Mike.
Tommy down the shore.
I love baloney.
He likes to thank a grace and then he goes and says his piece. It's Tommy.
You know what I'm saying?
Down the shore.
Tommy!
Yeah, Mike. Yes, Mike. Yeah, Jack. Big baloney business, baby.
What's up, Tommy? How
what
you
up,
living?
Tommy?
I'm good. It's been an interesting moment in time for me because I've been camping in the Poconos, and it's been an absolute nightmare. You guys ever been camping? Like, you guys big camping guys?
Tommy, where are you camping again?
In the Poconos.
In the Poconos.
One more time? I didn't hear you.
Camping in the Poconos, baby.
Yeah, no, I've never been a camper. I like going on hikes, but I'm scared of sleeping outside.
Well, I'm just saying, camp, listen, my natural habitat is like water, sand, boats, deli, sporting events, you know what I mean? Because camping ain't for me. I'm like a fish out of water, you know what I mean? First off, the tent. I always have a problem with the tent. I set up this stupid tent three different times. Each time, it collapsed right on top of me. And I had a hard time getting out from under the tent. You guys ever had that problem before?
No, never had that problem.
No.
It's a terrible experience. It's a nightmare.
I bet.
Nightmare.
It doesn't sound like it would be that hard to get the tent off of you, though, Tommy. It's just a tent.
Listen, I'm not the most agile fellow in the world.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
I got to get in better shape. Hopefully I will in the coming months.
But okay.
Finally, I get settled into the tent, right? I'm trying to enjoy the Poconos, enjoy Mother Nature, you know what I mean? Taking a little nap. And I get hit by a swarm of mosquitoes.
Oh,
and these
no.
aren't just any mosquitoes. These are ruthless mosquitoes. And then, for some reason, I couldn't leave the tent because the tent zipper got stuck. So these mosquitoes just swarmed in on me. It was an absolute disaster. You know what I mean? Horrible. Horrible experience.
So you were stuck in the tent with a swarm of mosquitoes.
You ever had that happen to you? You guys ever had that happen to you?
No.
Well,
I hope for your sakes it never does, because it's horrible.
Well, I hope you got some of that calamine lotion to get rid of the itch.
I did. I'm heavily medicated with calamine.
was there anything good about camping, Tommy?
Well, listen, there is one silver lining, you know, because you guys know me, I'm a big culinary guy. S-M-O-R-E-S, s'mores.
Yeah.
The best part of camping is the campfire s'mores, right?
Yeah.
And I love regular s'mores, but I got my own, like, savory sandwich s'mores. I call them Pocono s'mores. You know what I mean?
Okay.
What you do is you take a stick, right? You got to have a first thing, you got to start with a stick.
Yeah.
You got to make sure there's no water on a stick.
Okay.
It's got to be dry, right?
Yep.
Then you take half of a bun, you stick it on a stick, you shove it on there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you can take your bologna, your ham, your salami, and you stack it on a stick, right? Then you take a couple slices of cheese, not too much. Stack it on a stick, put the other half of the bun on top of the stick, and then you got a sandwich on a stick. You know what I mean? And then after you got a sandwich on a stick, you got to be careful, because like regular s'mores, you can keep over the fire. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like for like, I don't know, maybe deli meats, I think are a little more flammable.
Yeah.
You got to be very careful. You know what I mean? Because
yeah.
you don't want to burn yourself. You know what I mean? I almost did a couple times. And then so you got to just lightly put it, very lightly put it in the fire, pull it away. Put it in the fire, pull it away. Put it in the fire, pull it away. It's absolutely sensational. It's the only positive part of camping for me, anyway.
Tommy, that's not a s'more. It's just a sandwich. It's a deli sandwich.
Well, I got s'mores. It's Pocono s'mores.
Okay. Pocono s'mores. Okay.
Pocono s'mores are basically sandwiches on sticks. You know what I mean?
Yes. So, Tommy, you know, you've always been a Sirianni guy. What have you thought about his behavior and the reaction this week?
Well, you guys know me. Like you said, like, I've been a defender and supporter of Nick Sirianni. Quite frankly, he's not making it very easy. Quite frankly, he's acting like an idiot. Let's be real.
Oh, and, no.
And I mean, because look, remember, I told you, gentlemen, my first impression when he first joined the team was like, you know, that first press conference, like, he's not really necessarily the brightest bulb on a branch, remember?
Yep. You know what I mean? Not much has changed.
Not much has changed. That's right. And so, like, well, I mean, but here's the thing, that we had some success and he won me over. So I got confused. Now I'm full circle back to thinking maybe this guy ain't the brightest bulb on the branch. What do you guys think, man? I mean, I want to pile on because everybody's being so mean to him. You know what I mean? But, I mean, you guys all agree. He's kind of acting like an idiot. I think the team feels that way, don't they?
Yeah, but the brightest bulb on the branch?
Yeah, that didn't really – I let it go the first time. Yeah.
Guys, we had this conversation before. It's an old-time saying.
How old?
I mean? like late 19th century.
Okay. Shakespeare.
Yeah, exactly. That's right, Jack. I like to quote things from before the 20th century.
Okay. You know what I mean? Did they have light bulbs then? When did they start with light bulbs?
These were the early days.
Okay. Oh,
candlelight.
That's right. It's candlelight. Doesn't have to be normal light.
Yeah.
It can be a bulb on a branch and still be a candlelight. Actually, that doesn't make any sense. I'm sorry. That makes zero sense. I'll be honest. Sometimes I miss the mark a little bit.
Yeah, well, every once in a while. You're all baloneyed up.
Oh, man.
I'm baloneyed up. Heavy baloney.
Yeah.
Baloney on the brain.
So, Eagles going to North Jersey on Sunday to play the Giants. We need your prediction, Tommy.
Listen, this is the perfect confidence-boosting game for us, right? I think the Giants stink, and we need to gain some momentum right here, right?
Yep.
I think this is going to be a huge day for both sides of the football. I'm going 37-13. Birds, take it to the bank.
37-13. I like it. I like
37.
It's a big day. Both sides of the football, special teams, I think this is the week where it's all going to come together. I think that every week, but I'm hoping this is the week that it actually happens.
Tommy, I hope we get 37 in both games combined against the Giants, to be quite honest with you. But your lips to God's ears, Tommy.
I'm telling you, I got a good feeling about this gentleman. It's going to be a good week. It's going to be a good Sunday.
All right. Well, go cover yourself in more calamine lotion and get that itch away.
I will. And by the way, in the future, if you're camping, make sure you're a camping guy. If you're a water guy like me, don't go camping. That's a PSA for everybody listening. You know what I mean?
That's
a water
good.
Guy, be a water guy.
That's a good advice. Water and boats.
That's right. Water, boats, Poconos, beautiful. You guys are the best. I'll talk to you next week. Let's go, Birds.
Go, Birds.
Go
All right,
birds.
Tommy.
It's Tommy.
You know what I'm saying?
Down the shore.
He's got a busy life, Tommy.
He does.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
It seems like he's never down the shore.
That's a good point.
He's never down the shore.
Yeah, he's supposed to be Tommy down the shore. He's never down the shore. And, you know, I'm worried about his dreams. I'm worried about his preparedness. The other thing we didn't check, is he camping by himself?
I feel like he's always by himself.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't go camping.
I don't know. Is he a family guy? I don't know. Is he a family man?
We got to ask him that next time. I would love to know if there's a love of his life.
Yeah, right. See, I think he's always, my version of Tommy, always by himself.
That's
a loner.
Scary.
Yeah. Well, scary to go, especially if you're not a camping guy.
Oh, yeah, no, should not happen. He's a rotundsman, so I don't know if camping's the best thing for Tommy.
Yeah, he's a bigger fella. Definitely a bigger fella. Well, so,
he's 5'7", 220. Like,
yeah,
Rocko.
Yes, but all shoulders and arms. So, coming up at 5:30, Dr. J joins us, which is exciting. I can't wait to ask I've been waiting to hear Dr. J talk about the Paul George meeting. Because he was there. I actually think he was late as well, if I remember correctly, because he was coming with Josh Harris.
Meeting don't start till Doc gets there.
That everybody else was early was
yes.
The problem.
Yes.
So Dr. J will join us at 5:30. But coming up next is everyone's favorite part of the WIP Afternoon Show, which is the Top 5 at 5. Jack, what do we have going on in the Top 5 at 5 this week?
A lot of pressure on a lot of key individuals this weekend.
Okay. A lot of pressure.
A lot of pressure on a lot of key individuals.
Individual.
Who has the most pressure on them?
Ooh.
That's the big question.
Okay. And still an hour left in the show. Do you trust the Eagles in their gut check game on Sunday? 215-592-9494. The top five at five is next. Two words. I want you to remember these two words. I want that you put them in your brain. Bradford White. Because what's going to happen is you don't plan for your water heater to go bad. It just stops working, right? You don't get any hot water, and then you need one. Bradford White are the two words you need to know. It's built to be the best, whether it is at your home, so you want to keep your family with hot water, whether it's at work, your employees with hot water, whether it's tankless water heater or tank, Bradford White going to give you the performance you expect and you deserve. It's built to be the best. It's going to last for a long time. talking a decade. It is built 100% right here in the United States, and they want a plumbing pro to put it in there for you because they want it done right. So when you don't have any hot water and you know you need a water heater, what I want you to do is go to bradfordwhite.com, find a plumbing pro near you, and you're going to learn more there.